Thank you for being here. I hope you have a great day. We're getting a little cold weather, but it's the time of year for it, I guess, for us. You know, won't last too long. It'll be 20 degrees a couple of nights this week, and then in about 3 or 4 weeks, it'll be about 70 degrees one day probably or something, you know, if it holds true to what's usual from around here. We get some snow, and it'll be gone the next day, you know. The kids are wanting it to snow because I asked Darla's grandson this morning if he wanted it snow. He said, yeah, they'll call school off. I said, well, I don't blame him. I was the same way when I went to school. I didn't want to go, and the Lord, you know, blessed me with going to college and all that, so I thought I was through with school. Education's good. I encourage our young people to pursue education. It opens many doors. Joshua 24 in your Bibles. Very common, well-known passage of Scripture. I begin reading with verse number 14 and read through verse number 24. We are 4 weeks into the year 2019 in the year of our Lord. We're going to make a lot of choices and a lot of decisions. From birth to death, we're confronted with circumstances that we're forced to make decisions, often rapidly, and often we have to choose what we think is the lesser of two evils. We have to make decisions to deal with circumstances, and life is very demanding. Joshua was the leader that God appointed. He's coming at the time of death now. He's called the nation to listen to him in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he's our God. And Joshua gave a warning. He said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we obey. We've chosen to serve the Lord. Whom will we serve? A warning is given that if we profess to choose to serve the Lord, then there are a lot of things that must be left out of our lives. There are things we know as Christians that if we're going to serve the Lord, there are things we can't do. There are things we can't pursue. There's choices of life that demand that we choose the right way before God. There are many things Christians should know that they cannot do and serve the Lord. We know the basic sins of the Bible that are explained to us that are not for the Christian to do. Adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath, strife, seditions, alcohol and drugs and all that way of life that the society we live in has chosen are not for the Christian life. We all meet a lot of people who profess to be Christians, but their lifestyle doesn't seem to match up with what we've been taught from the Bible that a Christian should live. It all has to do with the choices that we make, the decisions that influence us. I learned a life lesson. I've taught you all the life lesson that everything in this world rusts, busts, and collects dust. It's all going to pass away. We're to focus on heavenly things, eternal things, reward in heaven preserved for us that fadeth not away. But I learned a life lesson from Lowe's, the big box store. They had a big stack of garden hoses. As you came in the door and looked back to the right, if you needed a garden hose, all you Yankees are proud of me. I didn't say hose pipes. And they had a printed sign in large letters that said, good, better, and best. The best was the most expensive and the easiest to reach. And the good ones were a little higher, and the better ones were above that. The good hoses were half inch and made out of plastic, and they were about $10 to $12 for a 50-foot hose. The better ones were about $18 to $22, and they were 5/8 and a better quality of plastic hose. But the best were about $35 at that time for a 50-foot hose. They were rubber and had brass fittings on them, and they would last many, many years. If we choose to serve the Lord, we know as Christians we owe Him our best. Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these necessities will be added unto you. In Luke 10:42, Mary and Martha made choices when Jesus visited their house. Martha went into the kitchen and got busy preparing meals, and Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus and listened to Him teach the people. And Martha was bothered by that Mary had left her to serve alone. So she came in to Jesus and said, make Mary come and help me. And Jesus said, Mary hath chosen what is best, and this will not be taken away from her. What Martha did was good. It was not wrong. But what Mary did was best. And we're faced in decisions of life every day that we need to choose what is best, not just what is good and not even what is better, but what is best. In 2019, we have the potential to be a winner or a loser. We have to learn what to keep in our life and what to throw away. We'll make choices and decisions, and we'll make some bad ones. But we learn from mistakes. And God knows we are imperfect. He's made a way of forgiveness of sin by confession unto Him and seeking His forgiveness by turning away from the sin we're in. And God will cleanse us and forgive us of all our unrighteousness. And we get a brand new beginning, a brand new start, and we can draw close to God. Good, better, or best. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and verse number 15, God said to Israel, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes and judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them. So choices that we have to make, choices of life rather than death, choices of good rather than evil, choices of of everything from where do we eat to what do we buy to where do we live and all that sort of thing are constant demands of choices that we're faced with. God help us to choose what's best, not just what's good. He said to this nation, they had seen the wilderness journey. They'd seen a whole generation die early and not be allowed to cross Jordan and go into the promised land, not because they were so super wicked and evil, but just like Adam and Eve, because they disobeyed God, because they had a lack of faith, because they let fear by what they saw cause them to make a decision rather than believing what God had promised. And we're faced with those same kind of decisions today. Taking the easy way out will often not result in what is best for us and our family. Life is hard, and it's harder if you're a transgressor. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. I've lived that way, and I've seen it. I told Brother Gary this morning when I was 14 years of age, I went to work in a service station, worked 12 hours a day on Saturday and 12 on Sunday and every day after school until they closed at night, about 4 to 5 hours a night. And in the summertime, I worked long hours, all of that making minimum wage. And I had to learn how to do everything, pump gas, put a 100-pound sack of hog feed on my shoulder and take it out, and dog feed and salt blocks and sardines and fishing minnows and worms and, you know, all that kind of stuff, cut meat and cheese and all those things. And it was a Texaco station, so I had to wash windshields and check oil and pump gas and all of that in my spare time, you know. And I saved up my money, and I bought a car when I was 14 years old. And I had the engine rebuilt, had a brand new rebuilt engine put in it. And when I was 15, I got my restricted driver's license. I could drive from 6 to 6 in the daytime. And I did foolish things with that car I had bought. I bought it myself. I paid the insurance myself. And I wrecked it myself. And I only had liability insurance, so I lost what I had spent all my money for and what I'd worked so hard to obtain. Foolish decisions. Even at that age, I was drinking and out at night driving when I wasn't even supposed to be able to drive after dark. I made stupid choices and dumb decisions. You say, well, preacher, you really learned your lesson, didn't you? Absolutely not. You know, I had to wreck several before I finally stopped buying cars with big motors and stopped trying to outrun the police. I learned you can't outrun the radio even if you can outrun the police car. And if you wreck, you know, they're right behind you, so you go to jail. Secondly, most of us won't go out of this church today and make super stupid decisions. Nobody's probably sitting here waiting for the 12 o'clock to come so they can go out and get intoxicated or buy drugs or do wrong things or commit adultery or anything of that nature. We're not the kind of people that are going to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 makes it clear the kind of people that do that. It says in chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." Boy, that hits a whole lot of them today, including California making rules about no genders and all that kind of thing. "The effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any addicted things." And so Paul gives us a great lesson here, and he gives us the encouragement that no matter what we were in the past, God can forgive us and cleanse us and make us new, and our past is gone. The Bible promises God will wash it away and never recall it against us again. Praise God. And so we need to make the right choices, because we're not going to make choices to go out and do a bunch of horrible things. And we're going to have to make a lot of choices, from the minute to the detailed, to choices that affect our life long term, like a home loan, like where we're going to live in a neighborhood and things of that nature, and short choices on how we're going to spend our day, good, better, or best. I believe the best decision we can all make is be prepared to come back to church tonight, to participate in the service of the Lord, to get to enjoy these ball ladies singing again. What a wonderful job they did. Thank you so much. And we're delighted to have you here. We believe Olivia is a wonderful young lady, and Wesley is blessed to have her. I teased him when his parents were here. He sent an email with a post when they were on their honeymoon. And he posted a picture of her and said, "My smoking hot wife." And I'm glad he feels that way. Amen. I'm sure other people have that opinion also. We're all forced with what Jesus called the ox in the ditch every once in a while. We're forced to make a decision that we didn't plan. Something happens that we had no idea that it was going to happen, and we're forced to get involved in something that takes our time away from what is needed to be done and that sort of thing. That's why it's vital as the disciples of Christ that we stay close to the Lord all the time, that we're faithful in our study, that we're faithful in our church, that we're faithful in our prayer life, because something could happen tomorrow that could take you away from all those things for days and days and days at a time. You could go to the hospital. Your family member could go to the hospital. You could have to drop everything. You can get so sick, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like reading, you don't feel like, and you can't go to church, and you can't do anything. And that's why it's important that we stay close to the Lord in case we face a time such as this. You may have to do what I did one day. My dad went into the hospital to have a heart procedure, and they damaged his heart, and he stayed in the hospital for 30 days before he died. And I left the office every afternoon and took a briefcase full of books and went to the hospital and stayed all night with my dad. And leave in the morning when my mom could come. I'd take a shower and change clothes and come back to church and work. In between, I'd catch naps as I could, but I did that for 30 days. I didn't get to spend the time I wanted to spend with my family or with the church work or things of that nature. I was forced to make a decision to do something. Y'all all know about my mother, who was 96 when she died, was in a nursing home for about 12 years or longer, and she had dementia the last 10 years and didn't even know who I was. And I visited her as often as I could. When she was in Charlotte, I would go twice a week. I'd go more, but she didn't want me to come in the afternoon after lunch because her and her roommate would take a nap in the afternoon. And so she didn't want me to come then. That was the most convenient time for me to run up there, you know, after lunch, catch lunch somewhere, and then and go by and see her. But in Rock Hill, once she got moved to Rock Hill, I was able to see her more. And it was difficult. It took time. It took energy. It took effort. It was depressing to be around a person that has dementia so bad they don't know who you are. And they see things, and you know, mom was blind by the time she passed away. Macular degeneration runs in her family, but all of them had pretty good eyesight till they got in their 80s, and then the macular would get so bad they couldn't see. And both of her brothers were totally blind by the time they died, and both of them lived to be in their early 90s, and the same thing happened to mom. Well, I had a lot of choices I had to make that were forced upon me, not something I wanted to do, not something I'd planned to do, not something I'd set aside time to do. And I still had the responsibilities of my own family and the responsibilities of the church. And you've got responsibilities and you've got demands that come upon you. And many of you have had similar situations to go through with your family, your parents. I believed it was my duty to do what I did. And I'm glad I did what I did. I don't feel bad that I didn't do more than I should have done. I've seen my wife pick up four kids at school and tend to them for the afternoon till their moms get off from work, and then fix supper for Becca and her two children so that she wouldn't have to go home and fix supper after she came home from work. And the effort that it takes and the decisions that we make. I've seen some of you try to get a degree further than what you had, and you worked a full-time job, and you went to school, and you took care of your family duties, and you came to church as often as it was possible for you to be here, and it was tiring and taxing and difficult, but many of you have accomplished more because you did that, and it was worth the hard work that you put into it. I've seen our two Joes work all week long and get in the car and drive all the way to Arkansas, about 14 hours, and mend their family, deal with their family, have the funerals for their family and visit the sick family and that sort of thing, and turn around, come back and go back to work and be at church and all of that. And it's not easy things to do. It's not what you plan. But it is a choice that you have to make. And you want to choose what's best, not just what's good. And in so doing, you feel like you have the Lord's help and the Lord's blessings, and good things will take place because of it. To do this, we need to walk with God, stay close to the Lord. We need to make sure that we're serving the Lord even while we hardly have time to put the effort into it. I've seen people get out of church because they made a choice. They were building something at their house, or building a house, or building a fence, or anything else, and they started missing church service to do that, and the next thing you know, after they were out of church for a month or two, they just didn't want to come back anymore. And that's a difficult thing. Thirdly, our character and our ethics should be the natural result of proper choices that we make. Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. Satan came upon him. He was fasting for 40 days, and he was going to choose his disciples after that. And Satan came to him and said, "Turn the stones into bread." Well, Jesus was hungry after a 40-day fast, but he refused to yield to his desires to listen to Satan. He knew what was right to do, and he did what was right always. He defeated Satan with his temptations. He didn't take the easy way out. He didn't yield to his desires. And people yielding to their natural desires is how Satan effectively works to cause people to willfully sin against God. Christ resisted Satan's temptations. The attempt to get him to do foolish things, like throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple because he said God promised to not let you dash your foot upon a stone. So, you know, prove it to me. Do that. Young people, listen to me. Satan will tempt you to do some foolish and stupid things. I often on drive time in the mornings. By the way, Joey told me about the Rock Hill station that BBN has acquired, 92.3 in Rock Hill FM. I caught them going home from the funeral, and I could hear them all the way from the church to my house, clear as a bell, and so I left, set the station. I've been listening to that going and coming. But sometimes I listen to WBT radio time for news and weather and all that kind of stuff. And in the morning, the former mayor of Charlotte, who was once governor of North Carolina for a four-year term, Pat McCrory, he has a show on for a brief time on the radio, 30 minutes, I think. And he's got an expression that he says quite often: don't put your stupid hat on. Don't make decisions that are beneath you, below you, that are dumb, that result in big trouble. You know, don't put your stupid hat on. I don't know whether somebody told him that while he was making decisions as a mayor or a governor, or whether he came up with that, I don't know. But it's a good decision, because we can easily make some stupid decisions that result in more trouble to put up with than if we just kept our mouth shut. All the kingdoms of earth will one day bow down to Christ. The Father will cause all the enemies to bow before him. and proclaim him Lord, and this will bring glory to the Father. And Christ knows that, but Satan offered to give him all those kingdoms right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. I'll give it to you right now. There's no shortcuts to spirituality. And no matter how old you are, you can mess up just making a wrong choice and a wrong decision. God help us to walk with God and get our decision-making spiritual as our lives should be, so that we make the right choices and the right decisions that are what is best, not just good or better. God deserves our worship and our service. Our time for honor and reward will come later. He promised it. It's written in the book. There's five crowns of reward. There's the blessing of eternal life in heaven and a place prepared and all the things reserved for us in heaven before the Lord that we're going to have one day. Don't get tired of waiting for that and try to have heaven here on earth right now with obtaining, you know, the riches of the world and all that sort of thing. When the battle's over, we'll wear a crown. Christ in every situation lived for God and lived by his word. He lived for truth and justice and love for God and love for others. And when we choose to become like him, we can grow in our ability to exercise discernment and discretion on a daily basis with the decisions that we make. Don't let our temperament make our decision. Don't let our natural desires make our decisions. Make wise choices from wisdom that we have received in answer to prayer from God. The pleasure of the moment is not worth the sacrifice of the permanent to obtain. Are we choosing what's good or better or best? If we make a bad decision like Elimelech, I preached on last week, don't defend it and don't blame somebody else for it. Just confess it to God and seek his forgiveness and start again. Learn from the mistake. You can't run from problems. As I said, a change in geography won't make up for bad character. People leave the church all the time because they don't like something that affected them personally. And they make a dumb move. They think if they go to another church, it's going to be all better. They're going to have the same problem there that they had here. Because the problem isn't the church, the problem's them. And they refuse to admit it and confess it and make up for it and have God make it right. Being able to discern the right choice in everything is not simple. But we need to learn from our mistakes or we'll make them again and again and again. We see the result of our choices and learn to choose a better path than what we chose before. A Christian can have peace about the decisions that they make to know that God is pleased with the decision they've chosen. When it's spiritual, when it's right with God, we'll get contentment. We'll have the wisdom from answered prayer, James 1, verse number 5. Our decision should be based on faith, not fears. And we should seek to please God with our decisions. Adam and Eve, nation of Israel, wasn't wicked, horrible, evil sin. It was just a choice to disobey what God had told them to do. 2019, I hope we can choose to serve the Lord and say no to wrong decisions. And if we do make a wrong decision, quickly as possible, get on our face before the Lord and ask his forgiveness and learn from it and then make a better decision. God helps to make the best decisions when we have the choice. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here today. This is the last Sunday of January. We're committed to 2019 big time. I hope you have a wonderful year. I hope God will guide you in all of your decisions. Father, we're so thankful we made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're thankful that you made the decision to save us, and you sent your Son to die for us, and you sent your Spirit to woo our hearts to believe in Christ and to claim your promise. Lord, help us to remember all the things that we have to look forward to. Help us not to get bored with living for you. Help us not to get in anticipation of the rewards and forget they don't really come fully until the battle's over. So help us to be patient, faithful, seek your will, and make the right choices and the right decisions that will please you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.